Hello, everyone. Today, I'm sitting down with Vicente Herrera, a DJ producer from Buenos Aires, Argentina. He specializes in creating hypnotic and progressive sonic experiences, using the music to tell a story and get you up and moving on the dance floor. Let's get it started so we can see how he gets it done. Hi, Vicente. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
All good, my friend. Thanks for inviting me. It's really glad to be here today.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. Can you tell us a little summary of who Vicente Herrera, the DJ producer, is?
Vicente is the result of a gradual evolution shaped by early encounters with sound and technology. From a young age, there was a natural pull towards devices that produce sound or visuals, like home stereos, DVD players, car systems, video games. So that early curiosity for interaction and response led to a groundwork for a deeper connection with music later on. Over time, that curiosity matured into exploration. I started learning, listening, and discovering what it means to be part of the electronic music world. Growing up in Argentina, with its rich and dynamic electronic music scene, brought exposure to both international and local artists, which played a significant role in shaping and creating a perspective in mind. Eventually, DJing became a natural extension of our musical immersions. And from there, the desire to create rather than just play led to music production. What started as a playful experimentation evolved into a professional path, one rooted in a lasting fascination with sound movement, emotional language, and spirituality of electronic music.
Yeah, man, that's deep. It seems like Argentina does have a nice, you know, music scene from what we've been talking over the past couple of weeks. Yeah, you jumped right in to make it one of your own. So how did you get started in music?
The starting point wasn't a single moment, but rather a series of everyday interactions with music that began very early on. Growing up in the 90s and early 20s meant being surrounded by a lot of sound, different from today, that maybe we are more in touch with the screen of the phone and things like that.
Yep.
So where it came from, movies on VHS, later on DVDs, CDs from my older siblings, I used in my home and car stereos, or playing video games, was such a great experience for my childhood. What made those experiences special was the process. I think like pressing the buttons, switching inputs, setting up things in the TVs just to hear a song or play the game I wanted to play or watch the movie. That physical interaction before the music even started created a unique kind of anticipation and connection with sounds. The music itself came from many places. Firstly, MTV show in the TV. It was like one thing that I mostly liked. The radio, the soundtracks from the movies and the video games, and CDs that my older siblings have with the chart-topping hits of the 20s. Over time, different styles of music came into my focus, and that openness has only grown through the years. There's no specific boundaries around what it gets played or listened to now. It's always been about the feeling, the curiosity, and the way music continues to evolve with each new experience. So, yeah.
For sure.
I think that's it. Yeah, the beginning.
Now, did your siblings, because you said, you know, you got some CDs and music from your siblings, did they have any influence on kind of the music genre or type when you were growing up?
Yes, I think a big part was influenced by my siblings because I have all type of styles. I like that you use the word styles and not gender. And I have rock, pop, music, classic music, but mainly top hits of the 20s, you know, because it was the music that we received and we downloaded on the CDs. Nowadays, we have Spotify and we can investigate and learn from music that is so much older than my parents, and it's great to have that access. But at the beginning, you only listen to the CDs that you have.
Were your siblings older?
Yeah, I have two older siblings and one smaller.
The older one, when you're young, you know, it makes, they're a little more impressionable on you. So yeah, I hear that. So did you take music lessons when you were a kid or play any instruments growing up?
No, I did try to learn to play the guitar, but it was not something that I really connect with. I like to set up things or play video games and interact with technology. So no, I did not learn any instrument as a kid.
Okay, that's surprising to me. Someone without any real background in music just picks it up like nothing. Do you feel that it comes naturally to you?
There may be something inherent in my background. On the parental side of my family, there was a strong musical presence. My grandfather was a skilled musician, someone who played various string instruments like accordion, the harp, and guitar with real talent. So even if there wasn't formal training early on, music was there, something in the lineage. But more than that, it's been the accumulation of small, curious moments from early childhood.
Did your grandfather, was he in a band or anything like that? Or was he just a musician?
He was in a band. He was a director and a teacher from a school in the south of Chile. But he was part of a band, and he plays in a lot of festivals down here, and also in the Festival de Viña del Mar. That is like a really known festival here in South America that is done in Chile. And he played there. So yeah, it was a great musician.
That's awesome. That's really cool to have around. I can see how you can pick up music pretty easy when it's around you like that. When did you start playing around with DJ decks?
That early fascination with buttons, inputs, and setting things gradually became something more focused. Around the age of 15, 16, the exposure to DJ culture through videos of large-scale festivals like Tomorrowland, Ultra Musical Festival, offer a first real glimpse into the world of professional DJs. That imagery left strong impression over me. So soon after, I asked my father if he can buy me a MIDI controller. I remember it was the Pioneer Wigo. It's an old Pioneer MIDI controller. So experimenting at home, learning through YouTube videos. But I think that at a certain point, it became clear that to move forward, it was necessary, need to go deeper. So that led me to enroll into a DJ academy after high school. And that environment provide not only technical knowledge about equipment or mixing and software, but also a wider understanding of electronic music as a diverse evolving landscape. And between those formative years, late teens into early 20s, the experience expanded. I started going out to house parties, casual gatherings, small gigs, my first clubs, and each step added a new layer in my passion. And while the journey began with pure curiosity, it naturally evolved into a dedicated pursuit, one that continues to unfold.
Now, was your grandfather, was that the father of your dad?
Yeah, the same one.
Okay, so when you asked your dad to get that first DJ controller, like, what was his reaction to that?
He was totally all in. He saw my face, and he knew that it was something that I wanted to take my doubts out and to really get to know if this is something I really like or something that is just passing by in my life. Like, I don't know, all the sports you learn, the things you learn, and this was something that I think he saw as a great purpose on my life. So at an early age, he said yes to the academy, yes to the production, yes to everything. He was like fully supportive with me. That was really nice.
Yeah, that sounds really nice. You know, to have that support just right out the jump, it just makes it a little easier on you to be like, okay, this is something I could pursue and really do.
Yeah, for sure.
And you kind of mentioned that you started out, you know, kind of home parties, casual gatherings. Who are you, quote-unquote, performing for? Just friends or family? Or who are those first, like, quote-unquote, shows for?
Yeah, at first when I started going out, I usually end up at more conventional clubs, places that had a commercial music in the main room and electronic music in a smaller alternative space. That's how I first exposed to electronic music. But over time, I started going out to venues dedicated entirely to electronic music. with international and national artists, especially in my favorite club here in Argentina that is called The Bow.
Okay.
Yes. I also experienced bigger festivals like Greenfields, Time Warp, and Mandarin Park. That is like a big festival here in Argentina.
Okay.
One moment that really stuck with me was a night I went to see Guy J, the Israeli DJ and producer, in Rosario, in a place called Metropolitano.
Okay.
This absolutely massive indoor venue for 5,000 people. The energy, the music, the whole show just blew my mind. The crowd was so into it, fully immersed. That night made a huge impression on me. It was one of those moments where I thought, yeah, this is it. I want to create that same kind of experience for the people as a DJ and as a producer.
Oh man, I can only imagine that feeling. I've never personally experienced it, obviously, but I can only imagine how cool it'd be to be able to put on a show for 5,000 people. I mean, insane. So what is it about experiencing that live music that was so influential on you when you started?
I feel like a big part of being a DJ is about of providing a service, like communicating a sense of enjoyment, reflection, and even a learn through music. At first, you think the fun part is just to be behind the decks and choosing what music gets played. But once you truly connect with the energy, the crowd, there's no turning back. That collectivity urge to dance and have a good time with whoever you are with, that really pulled me in. These days, it's hard to find anything that recharges me the way it does when I see people dancing and smiling together because of the music I'm playing.
Now, is in Argentina, is it pretty common to go out to a club and listen to house music? Or is that more like something that you and your group of friends went and did?
Yeah, I think that there is a big scene of underground electronic music here in Argentina. But when it started earlier in the 20s, I think, it was something big, but underground. You don't see the exposure at the beginning. But nowadays, that is a mainstream, the electronic music. Like, you see everyone going out and people that don't really like the music and they're getting starting. But yes, the electronic music in Argentina here has always been a big part of the population.
Okay. And when you started experimenting with creating music and DJing, I know you said your dad was supporting you, you know, right off the bat. What were your friends and your siblings and other people of your family saying?
Honestly, when I first started messing around with music and DJing, most of my friends were really curious and even excited. They asked me to play at house parties or share some of the stuff I was working on. My family supported me in every possible way. Both parents and siblings made me feel like accompanied through every step I took. My mom at times had some understandable concerns about the nightlife and club scene, but she never made me feel like it was something bad. She used to lend me her car so I could drive to my DJ classes or to the gigs in different venues. And as I told you before, my dad was all in from the beginning.
It's funny that, of course, the mom has the concerns of the nightlife and maybe crowd influencing you, being a bad influence. But, you know, that's what moms are for, right?
Yeah, for sure.
They got to point out the things that may go wrong. How long were you DJing before you decided you wanted to start producing your own music?
I think it was around the third or the fourth year that I really started to produce music I liked. But from that point to the actually playing my own tracks in my set, that probably took 6 years since I first started mixing.
Okay, so it's not something that came quick, the producing your own music part.
No, I think that part of that is because I didn't have any music theory at the beginning. First, I started learning how to use the software and the setups. And then when I understand the software and the setups and how to create instruments or MIDI channels, I start to get to know more about the instruments. And when I get to know about the instruments, I decide to take piano lessons with a conventional teacher. I took 1 year of piano lessons, but only for music theory. Note, scales, the modes, and all the things that I needed to compose the basic things for electronic music, have some rhythm.
And was there a catalyst for you to want to create your own music versus just playing these set lists that you were doing?
I think the biggest catalyst was when I started noticing certain DJs I really admired, not just for how they mix, but for the music they play. And then I found out that a lot of the tracks they were using were actually their own productions. That hit me, and I felt a strong need to start creating my own stuff too. So I began experimenting, I signed up for courses, start producing, and tried to build a library of original tracks so I could bring more identity to my set, so I wasn't just relying in other people's music. And something that felt really important from the beginning was understanding that productions goes way deeper than just mixing a DJ. Learning how to produce music was a way to expand my knowledge to a whole new level. In fact, I'm still learning today. Productions feels like a craft with no ceiling. There's always something new to explore.
That's how we kind of get, you know, new genres of music, right? People just experimenting with things and trying new things and seeing what works. As I'm sure we're going to get to in a little bit with the live music, but testing those new tracks against a live crowd will give you feedback real quick, I'm sure. Yeah, there seems to be a lot to know and learn about producing music. You need to learn the instruments, effects, samples, software. I'm sure much more than I'm explaining right now. What was the most difficult part of the learning process to you?
Definitely, I think the hardest part of producing music is learning how to manage frustration, understanding that it's a natural part of the process, like any discipline. Everything has its own journey before reaching the final goal. I think that is the real goal, like enjoying the process, not just finish something and be proud of it, but be proud of the whole process. But if you learn how to use frustration in your favor, to understand that is what music production is about, it becomes really powerful. It helps you to open your mind and unlock creativity by focusing your intention on what you're doing. So, like, just do it. So, yeah, I believe that the toughest part of electronic music production is to handle the frustration.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, I play the guitar and I play a little bit of bass. When I'm working on a song, not on my own, but just trying to play a song, man, I understand the frustration, and sometimes you just got to walk away and pick up later. So, yeah. And when you're trying to make your own music, I can only imagine how much more pressure and stress there is involved with that. So, can you explain your music style and kind of how you chose that?
Yeah, I like that you use the word style again instead of gender. That's something that came up a lot in the electronic music. And honestly, it's still something I struggle to understand. I don't really get why people feel the need to label music by gender rather than by style, which feels more fluid and better suited something as expressive as music. So yeah, my musical style is largely built up around a strong presence of the drums and the bass, especially because I love making and playing music for the dance floor. I draw a lot of inspiration from house music as well. At the same time, I also enjoy making tracks that people can listen to while relaxing at home or driving their car, but the club environment is definitely something that speaks to me. I like the drums that are really present with distinctive percussions that create a kind of hypnotic effect or Latin effect or African effect for the listener. My music tends to be progressive. I like to have a clear sense of storytelling, whether the listener can recognize the key moments, the transitions, the climax, and the resolution. As the track winds down, the story comes to a close. That's something I really care about. I also try to bring that same mindset to my DJ sets. I want my track selections to have a sense of intention and a flow. Of course, you adjust based on the crowd's response, but overall, I like to build sets around the same core, a strong drum and bass relationship, supported by percussions, vocal, and harmonic elements that really draw the listener in. That approach made me feel the most comfortable on the dance floor, both as a listener and as a DJ. Nowadays, I definitely learn in towards making music in that style more than others, but of course you never really know what the future holds. For now, this is the style that feels the most authentic to me. It's where I'm the clearest with myself and with my audience.
Yeah, and I do think from your music that you are telling a story, and I mean I've listened to all the tracks that you have on Spotify. Hopefully I can see a number in Chicago as one of your monthly listeners. Hopefully we can get that going for you. Who are some of your biggest influences or people you aspired to be when you were starting out?
I think when I started watching Tomorrowland and Ultra Musical Festival, like my first approach to the mainstream in electronic music, Avicii was one of the persons like I admired at the beginning, and he was like a true inspiration for me. It's funny because my friends call me Bicha as a nickname. Yep. And it's a derivation of Avicii, because when I start playing as a DJ, my friends call me like Avicii, Avicha, Avicii, Avicii, and end up calling me Bicha. So yeah, at the beginning, I think he was someone really strong. But when I get deeper, I get to know, as I mentioned before, Guy J, that is this Israeli DJ and producer. He's like one of the best for me and one of the ones I really like. I think Guy J is one of the persons that really put me in the vibe.
Nice. Those are definitely solid artists for sure. And I like that there's a little, your naming convention kind of fits right in with Avicii. So yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Your music emphasizes the drum and bass, and then you build around that. Why is that so important to your style?
Firstly, the group. I think a big part of why I choose this style is the group itself. Out of everything I listened to during my teenage years and early 20s, the elements that stood out me the most were the foundations of house and deep progressive house. That prominent drums, the strong connection between the bass and the rhythm, and the progressive way many DJ mix or produce melodic tracks using long build-ups and transitions, it was like the best.
Hell yeah. So when you're creating your music, you said you're trying to tell a story and thinking how it will play out on the dance floor. Are you creating this for yourself, or do you have a particular group in mind?
Let me think. No, I think that I'm creating this for myself. Something like urges me from my inner person and just wanted to share with you, no matter who is the audience, I will always be true to myself in that way.
That's awesome. Yes, because I like that you said you're creating it for yourself, because you'll be disappointed in yourself, I believe. It could be different for you, but I would be disappointed in myself if I created something for somebody else and then it's disappointing. Now, if I create it for myself and other people are disappointed, that's okay, because I made this for me and I'm playing it for you. So I really love how you said you make it for yourself. That's powerful. For you, what's the best part of creating music?
I think that all the freedom I have when it's the moment I sit on the computer to create music is something I really appreciate. It's like when you were a kid and you receive like a new sheet of white paper with all the colors you have and all the textures to try on, and you start drawing on a blank sheet from zero. And that freedom is like one of the essence of producing music, I think. So that's really good. Nice. The best part of creating music.
Nice, I like that. And when you're creating this music, do you have a specific process you take when you're writing?
I have habits. I usually start, as I mentioned before, creating the relation between the drum and the bass. Some part of the drums try to get some percussion to create like the core of the groove, and then I build up everything around that groove. But I can have different experiences for each track. Sometimes I start with a vocal or a sample I get from a song I like or a melody, but mostly the primal habits is to start with the relation between the drum and the bass and get the groove done.
Do you feel when you're writing a song, it's easier to write beginning, end, or middle, or is it all you just build and figure out the flow?
No, I figure out the flow, yes. I start with the first thing that came to my mind and start working on that and try and try and try. And when I have like a scene, as I call them, 16 loops, I try to figure out if this is the beginning, the middle, of the end. But yes, I try to flow with the creative process, not to get blocked and think that the only way is to start by the beginning or the end or the middle. So I try to flow the much as I can without thinking of what I'm doing, just do the things and don't be so technical on yourself. And when the creativity starts to block, I try to move on to a more technical approach and focus on the tasks that are more about the technical side of the music production, like mixing and EQing. And if it's not working out, I just leave the room and take a walk or do something completely different.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to ask you what happens when you kind of get that creative block. It's really cool that you don't, when you start a track, you don't really know where it's going and you play around with it and eventually you come to your story and you finalize that. That's really cool, man. Do you have a group of friends or DJs that you like to share your ideas with to get feedback?
Yeah, I do have. Here in Argentina, there are a lot of great producers and DJs. I have a lot of friends that are friends before we started being DJs. So, yeah, I have a good relation with the rest of the group of the colleagues. And we share music, especially using SoundCloud with the private link mode on. So we share the music and it's all good.
Do you ask them for feedback or do they just naturally give it to you?
No, it's a natural flow between feedback and repercussion. I like it, I don't like it, I like this part, I like this element, I will support you, I will use this track on my next gig. It's a natural flow between the producers.
Awesome.
Here in Argentina, and it's really good.
Nice. All right, well, let's get into the live music, man, my favorite. So where where was your first show?
My first DJ performance after diving deeper into DJ, it was in a place called Vita in Buenos Aires. I think it was in August 2016, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, it was fun.
Nice. What was it like going into that first show? Were you nervous, excited, scared shitless? What was that experience like?
I was really nervous, but I was young and I was starting to show up, so I didn't put too much mind on it. I just wanted to have fun and a nice night with my friends and play music. There was not too much mind like today.
Getting nervous for a podcast, huh? That's awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
And how do you think that first show went?
Great, great. It was definitely something special now that I start to remember that day.
Nice. And did you get any feedback from the people in the audience?
I really don't remember too much, but my friends were really excited. That was the whole mission of the first gig. Like, go out with your friends, have a nice time, do what you do in the house parties and the small gatherings. That was the first mission, and it was good.
Nice. Did you want to get out there right away again after that first show and put on another one?
For sure. Hell yeah. I feel amazing.
And so I have a question about the live shows, right? When you're first starting out, how do you get those gigs?
This case was through a guy I used to know. who was working there as a promoter. And I kept insisting that I was ready to play and I really wanted to spot in the lineup. I just finished my DJ course, so I thought that I already knew everything about DJing. So, yeah, they they trusted me, and I just went in, and there was no turning back.
Sweet. So you didn't have a manager back then, and do you have a manager now, or are you still solo?
I'm still as a freelancer. I always been a freelancer.
Okay.
I won't lie. I often turn to my girlfriend, Candelaria, to talk things through when it came out to negotiation or evaluating conditions, figuring out what's good move strategically. I feel like she has a great sense of timing and really sharp ability to recognize which opportunities are worth taking and what opportunity cost might come with them. I don't know how managers work, but for the time, this is working out well, and I like this way.
Okay, sweet. And how do you market yourself then?
Marketing as an artist often starts with building an identity, something that goes beyond just the music. It requires putting that identity out there, your persona, even if it feels a bit uncomfortable or cringy. There's a certain resistance that tends to show up, but part of the process is learning to move through it. And at the same time, it also means staying in tune with how fast everything changes and social media platforms, tools, trendings. Keeping up with that rhythm, it's a challenge itself, but it becomes a necessary part of navigating the path of DJ and producer.
Trust me, I know the feeling of feeling cringe. Let me tell you, with this podcast, man, putting myself out there, I started doing those reels. And the first one probably took me, I don't know, 35 takes. And I'm like, oh, this is so bad, but I'm just going to put it out there. So I understand the feeling. But, you know, the first step is just doing it, getting out there. And
just do it.
Yeah, and it feels a little bit, it gets better over time, right?
It's for sure, yes. And when you start building your persona and you like this character of yourself, when you are showing like your passion, in my case is the music, in your case is the podcast, the service of communicating. When you build your persona and you feel comfortable with that character, that's when you achieve your best marketing, because it's your truly self and the person you want to show up. Maybe in your home, you are different than persona. You're calmer and you like to stay chill in your house, but when it's time for your persona to show up, it's like, this is the person I want you to show.
Hell yeah, I love that. I love that a lot.
Do you know the actor Cillian Murphy?
Yes.
That's the guy, you know, when he acts, he's like the best persona, the best character, and when you look in his real life, he's the calmest guy in the world. Like, you know, he don't give a fuck about anything.
yeah, totally. Oh man, that's a good explanation. Back to kind of the live music scene, what do you think is required by a venue to create the right environment for a good show?
Building a great venue starts with taking care of the people, for sure, and creating a space where mutual respect is a priority, for sure. There's no way back in those requires things.
Okay. And do you do research on these venues before you take a show?
Yes. I analyze them. I try to go out there and experience the venue as part of the audience, and try to see if there is this part of the venue taking care of the people and the respect between the audience. And when I feel that, I start demonstrating my interest for the producers. Okay, that's the part when I start to negotiate or sell myself and try to get the spot in the lineup.
And do you prefer playing at festivals or clubs?
Probably clubs, mainly because of the essence of the electronic music and that part of the underground music that began in the clubs. But there's something about that intimate and immersive environment that really fits the sounds. That said, festivals can be amazing too, especially open-air sunsets, the moment that can be truly special, but clubs for sure is my favorite.
How do you like to start your sets, or does that depend on the show?
It really depends on the venue, the setting and the time. But one thing's for sure, I do enjoy capturing people's attention and drawing them into the moment.
As your set is going on and you're trying to get these people into the moment and dancing and that sort of thing, how do you read the audience?
I feel like many times events come with a kind of starter pack of what you're going to expect or what you have learned from the place. Of course, things can change and there can be a surprise. That's actually the most challenging and fun part of DJing. I try to connect with what I see and feel while I'm mixing and keep following what I would like to share with the crowd. But often you have to keep adjusting until you find the right balance or the direction to flow with the vibe of the moment in the place.
And do you interact with the audience in your shows?
Just by vibing with them, make eye contact and smile between. I try to connect physically in that way and spirituality with my message and my intention when sharing the music.
Okay, and when you're up on some of these stages, do you ever have an entourage?
Yes, for sure. I have a lot of people that came and see me and come to listen. In fact, I have a lot of new friends that I knew back in the days when I started clubbing. I started to make friends because of the electronic music.
Yep.
And those friends are still my friends, and they are not the ones that I went to the school or to the college.
Yep.
So yeah, I have my friends from the scene.
Okay, cool. And what's your favorite way to close a set?
I like to leave the dance floor in the right mood for the moment. If someone is playing after me, I enjoy setting things up so they can feel comfortable stepping in. And if I'm closing, I love making the ending a more memorable and reflective in a way.
And which do you prefer? Do you prefer being the opener, like getting them all jazzed up for the headliner, or do you prefer headlining?
Obviously, the main goal is to be the headliner of the show.
Okay. Yeah.
But I have a strong feeling on the opening because it's the most difficult part of the shows in any music discipline, because when you start playing, like, you are the one who set up the first vibe of the place and get to know the people, and the people to get to know the music that is playing and everything to flow in a balanced way.
Yep.
Is a really challenged work to do. And as I start a long time ago, I always have more opening sets than main and headliners sets. So it's something I do most, and it's something that I really learned to enjoy it. Although it's not the headline, it's a really special moment for the venue, and the audience know that, and I really stay with that. So I would say I love the headliner because of the moments that it can give you, because it's the climax of the night, but the opening is very special to me.
Nice. That's awesome. That's a great answer. Love that. Have your sets changed from when you were just a DJ to when you're a producer making your own music, or has it just evolved naturally over time?
No, definitely. My understanding and perception of music change a lot after learning about the process of mixing production. Like, it's impossible now not to separate songs into their individual elements. I pick up on instruments or sounds I never noticed before. Even with music I used to listen as a kid, sometimes I hear things that I have never caught back in the days. It's like the years have been trained in a different way, like a muscle.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine that. I don't know music theory and all that kind of stuff, but as I've watched some YouTube things and people breaking down music, I understand it a lot better than I did before. And yeah, I hear things that I didn't before, but you're on another level than I am. So I can only imagine.
Something that happens to me nowadays is, like, I listen to music that appeared this century, and I started to listen to older music, and I recognize samples from older music in music from today's day or in the early 20s, that I said, this was a song or a sample that I thought that this was the original, and the original is from the 60s or the 80s, and all that perception of music and the way I catch the sounds, I think mostly is because of the technical and the practice I put into music production. And it's great.
And it's funny, you just mentioned you hear music from a long time ago. Linkin Park, I just learned, took a sample from a movie from,
yes,
I think it was James Bond movie, and they,
yes,
reversed it.
And they pitch it down, no, they reverse it, they pitch it down, and they cut some parts. The song is not Numb, it's the other one. But it's, no, it's great, it's great. This year I have a trip with a cousin from my parental side as well, and he showed me a lot of music. George Scott Herzon and old funk music and old music, and I don't know, like the first raps, the first reggae, the first jazz. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the songs that I like from that style of music. And it's music that is already done. It's like one of the craziest moments was in Sydney, in Australia. After finishing my set, some guys from Japan came up to me saying they love what I have played, and they asked me to take a photo with me. I couldn't believe it. It was something completely unimaginable for me at that moment. And it was truly special and really nice.
That is so cool. I mean, that's what your goal is, right? To be able to make an impression on somebody and that they enjoyed it so much, they wanted a picture with you. That's so cool. And what is something that you think people should know about performing that they might not know?
It's not just about the business side, learning the technique or studying or knowing how to promote yourself. Behind it all, there's a much deeper background, I think, in every artist or producer. There is a passion built on lived experiences and spirituality. I don't think that the audience fully realized the effort that goes into being a DJ. Not only the practical demands, but also the spiritual dimensions. For many, this is a life mission. It's about offering a service through music, communicating something meaningful we want to leave behind in this world. And its core, it's about creating connections, giving people the chance to communicate and share unique moments together through sound.
Hell yeah, man. That's deep right there. That's something I didn't realize as well. Before we started talking, I didn't know how like deep that knowledge went and all these experiences and that sort of thing. So, you know, talking to you has really opened my eyes about the whole industry and stuff. And it's really, it's really cool.
That's cool, man. Thanks.
And how do you handle the challenges of being a DJ while having a full-time job and career?
Working in corporate world while also living my life as a DJ producer is definitely a challenging balance. It's like being Batman, you know, like Christian Bale during the day and Batman during the night. But at the same time, being 27 years old, I still feel very young enough to do it all, take advantage of the moment and share opportunities for what they really are. It also allows me to build the kind of lifestyle I enjoy, to feel at ease and to relax at times without having to rely only on music as a only source of income.
I want to ask you a question too. Before, when we were talking about the live music, you had mentioned you played in Australia, which, by the way, that's so freaking cool.
Yeah, it was really nice.
How many countries have you played in?
Argentina, Uruguay, Chile, and Australia, the four countries.
And how did you get that show in Australia?
It was a trip we made with a group of friends. We went 3 months to work, like, whatever it goes out, we grab the job and do it. We were in our early 20s. And I started looking up for clubs in Facebook. I knew that Instagram was already one of the most used apps in the world, but Facebook, like, already have like the clubs built in their pages. So I started scrolling and looking for clubs, and I crossed by one club that have some friends in common, and I talked to those friends like, hey, do you know this club? How good it is? Do you know someone who works there? And I have the lucky that one person that I contact with knows a person inside the club who works there, and I like, hey, please tell him that I'm going to write to him for a I don't know, like an interview or to get to know him.
Yeah.
So I start talking with him. I share all my music that I have in that moment, my sets, photos, different videos of me playing in Argentina, the press kit that is like the curriculum in the DJ scene. You use the press kit. He was cool, man. I like your profile and your music. Let's agree with this date. And it was really, okay. And I go, and it was amazing, really amazing, because I was really young at that age. I didn't know anything about Sydney, anything about Australia, and suddenly I was sharing what I thought that I liked best, and the people were really enjoying it. And it was like, I'm communicating with you, and we have nothing in common rather than the music that is being played.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yep, for sure. What is the most common misconception of you?
People might see me at first as someone very serious, maybe even a bit introverted. But once talk to me and get to know me well, they realize I'm not that serious, and I'm actually more extroverted, and I tend to look more to the fun side of the things rather than to the serious ones. I like to play, I like to talk, I like to go deep in conversations. I think that...
I have a question that kind of proves exactly the point of what you just said. During the World Cup, when Argentina won the World Cup, what happened to you?
I don't know. I freaked my mind. I lost my mind.
And what happened to your knee?
No, I broke my knee. I broke my... No, that was amazing. No. I will never forget that.
I won't either, man. That's such a good story. Such a good story. All right, last one for you, Vicen. What are you most proud of throughout your career?
I think the process, for sure. When I stop for a minute and stop thinking about the future and the things that I have to do and everything that is already undone, and I think about what is already done and what is already out there, the music I have in Spotify, all the DJ experiences I have, the people I get to know, all the love and the share I receive from whoever listened to me and smiled at me. I'm very proud of that, for sure.
Awesome. Well, I just want to say, Vicente, I freaking love your music. I listen to it. I try to spread the love around Chicago and the U.S. I don't really have a reach, but hopefully here we go. Podcast people, listen to Vicente Herrera. And thank you so much for your time today. But before we go, I would like to give you the floor to say whatever you want.
No, thank you, my man. I think that from the beginning we met working. You always stepped by and came by to me and told me, hey, I'm Dave. Anything you want or any doubt you have, you can just ping me and we can chat about everything. And here we are. 3 years later, we have a great relation. You invite me to your podcast. I really work on this. I never talk too much English fluently, but it was lovely, a lovely experience. I love what you're doing. Keep it up and just do it. This is part of everything.
Thank you, Vicen. I really appreciate that. So, yeah, everyone, check out Vicente Herrera on Spotify. And, yeah, goodbye, everyone.
See you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Vicen, for coming on the show and sharing your story. Crazy to think that's the longest you've ever spoken English in one sitting, because you absolutely crushed it. Please go check out his music on Spotify and his page on Instagram. I have them linked in the show notes. His music is great, and he's an even better guy. Maybe someday you will be able to see him on tour. Please subscribe to the show if you haven't already, and leave a review if you have some time. Until next time, bye everyone.